throw balls far. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. It's Monday, so we'll talk to Jim Traber at about 9:30. Get his thoughts on what happened over the weekend in the world of sports. Also at the college football weekend, Oklahoma State with a huge win down in Austin. And now they've kind of completed two of the four legs of Big 12 tough games, I guess you could say, with wins against both Baylor and Texas. Got a big one on the road again at Iowa State. Clear that hurdle, and all of a sudden it looks like pretty smooth sailing toward the Big 12 title game, but toward Bedlam, and maybe two of them in a row. So we'll talk about Oklahoma State's huge win on the road, how they're doing it. It's a different way everybody else is. OU still undefeated as well. They beat TCU on Saturday night on Owen Field. Caleb Williams was incredible. How did that perform? How did he perform versus what you thought he might do? One big glaring problem, though, is the secondary for Oklahoma. Either they have guys that are better than anybody thought that they need back, or they're not very good, and it may be a mixture of both. Then what's going on nationally? What's the national landscape look like as we start inching our way toward November? High school football district races. We pretty much knew where everybody was on Friday, but there was one big game left in 4A1. We know that result. So now where does everybody stack up with three games left in the district schedule? And then yesterday's NFL action, we talk about that as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon Communications app. The app has all things Paragon with us right here on KADS. The other two radio stations with KECO and Cool 94. You got the Penny News in the app. Check out the Penny News online, thepennynews.com, or you can go pick one up at your local newsstands for free. The Penny News. Got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. The Elks Thursday night again this week down in Cache. Cache is having their fall break this week as opposed to last week with everybody else. So the Elks agreed they'll play Thursday night at Cache, win that one, and you are guaranteed a playoff spot. And then also you'll have Merritt on Paragon TV at Thomas this week, a game that's going to be important for the Oilers to win to stay in touch with that final playoff spot in A1. We'll talk about that coming up here shortly. Also, if you missed the show entirely, you can go back, catch us on the podcast. Skinny on Sports Podcast is available on KADSAM.com and also on iTunes. If you find us on iTunes, you might as well subscribe because then you're alerted each and every day when a new podcast drops. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
I got just a little bit of a in my throat.
I hear that.
I think it's from screaming.
Screaming.
You're like yelling at the game, you know.
Oh, yeah, you went.
Not used to that. Yeah.
How was it?
Totally different. We sat in the new, that's the first time I'd seen the new stadium.
Yeah.
With the south end zone remodel. We sat in there. It's just a different sound than what I was used to and on the other end of the field.
Yeah.
You don't hear the band nearly as loudly. I mean, because we sat literally dead across the field from the band in my previous trips to Norman. And so you're right there. You hear it. It's a long ways away from, you know, where that is to the south end zone. But
yeah,
it was a cool view. It's really nice. You can tell it's new. Almost felt like, now we did have an extra seat versus how many people we had.
Oh, okay.
There. And there was to the side of me, there's about three seats that were empty. So maybe that's what made it felt like the numbers on the bleachers were spread out further than they are in the old part, if you know what I mean. Anybody that's went to an OU game knows exactly what I mean.
Right.
But good experience. It just sounds different. It sounds different. It just does. It doesn't sound as loud as what it does down on the other end to me being there. Actually sat down, which was nice. could sit down and watch the game for some of it.
Didn't stand the whole time.
Weren't having to stand the whole time. Yeah. So maybe it's more of the wine and cheese crowd down there on the South, but didn't bother me at all.
No.
You know, sit down and watch the game, get up when you feel like cheering, but it was one of those just frustrating game to me. It was one that you never really felt like Oklahoma was in favor or in any danger of losing the game. But the defense isn't good enough to blow people out, like what should have happened on Owen Hill Field on Saturday night. And we'll get to that coming up in the next segment. But it just for as good as the offense and as good a debut as the starter that Caleb Williams had, I came away with a lot more frustration than anything else after the game was over.
No, we should be used to it by now, though.
Yeah, but we didn't think so. That's the problem. What about you? You had a trip as well.
Yeah, it was a fun weekend. Went down to Great Wolf Lodge and ran into your cousin. I knew it was him. I didn't recognize him without his shirt on, though.
Oh, dear God, you have to see that? Hey, Jared, what do you think? Hey, Jared, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? This
we kind of had a dad. We had a dad conversation. Like this. I put it to that. Hey, look at all these kids. It's driving us crazy.
What in the world were we thinking, doing this?
I kept telling myself, "It's all about the kids. It's all about the kids. It's all about the kids." And it was. It was fun. It was real fun.
Isn't that what your life is, though? All about the kids at the end of the day.
And that's. I kept telling myself.
You know, that's not the way.
Look how much fun they are having. And I told my kids this too. You know, fall break. First 9 weeks are done. Got the report cards. Everything was good. And I told them, you know, one's in second grade and one's in pre-K. I mean, how are you going to flunk pre-K?
Well, you'd hope not.
But second grade, you know, it starts to get serious with the spelling and the math and everything. And she, straight A's, I'll brag about my kid. I'm not shy about that. But I told her, I said, listen, you get it done in the classroom, we do more stuff like this. So this is kind of a reward for you, this little trip and whatnot. I have to keep telling myself, just look at their faces. They're having a blast. This is all about them. So it was fun. It was a nice, quick weekend away.
I find myself getting jealous.
How's that?
Because there wasn't stuff like that when we were kids.
Oh, No.
Not just like that. Trips like that.
I mean,
that.
There was Whitewater, but that, not in the fall. You know,
no.
I don't know when Great Wolf Lodge came to be, but... No, I don't think it was a thing when we were kids.
Well, no. I just mean in everything that kids have now.
Oh, yeah.
That stuff wasn't there. I mean, we thought it was cool when there was like the super soaker water
gun.
Yeah. It wasn't just a pistol. Now everybody's got these giant water slides.
Oh, man.
But you'd only see it, you know, it just... It baffles my mind. It boggles my mind.
Those
and it also
slides.
Makes me jealous.
I'm really anxious to hear if Tyler went down some of these slides because they were pretty scary.
Oh, he's always
my
been.
My kid loved it.
Guarantee you he did. He's always been a little bit of a daredevilish type of guy.
But those slides were pretty fun. We got there Friday and we immediately checked in and went down to the pool and not as crowded because it was Friday.
Yeah.
And it's not fall break in Texas.
Oh, nice. That helps.
But... fall break in Oklahoma. I mean, I look through that parking lot, Oklahoma Tech. So all us Okies invaded North Texas for a second weekend in a row, this time with the kids and the families for fall break. And that Saturday got pretty crowded to the point even my kids said, yeah, we're done. So we dried off and went to a nearby mall and found some dinner. And yeah, it was fun.
If you want a bad idea, go up to that deal in Tulsa called The Gathering Place over spring break.
Ooh.
If you want just a terrible idea, go do that one.
That's on the list. That's what.
It's a cool place, but not during spring break.
Yeah, that's on the list, though. That's on the list. But it was fun. We hit up. You ever been to Bucky's?
No, I've got a cup that has it, though.
We did it twice on the way there and on the way out.
My sister and brother-in-law have been there.
And did you know yesterday there was a race at the Texas Speedway? Yeah. And that's literally across the street from this Bucky's that we stopped at.
Oh, my
gosh. So on the way back yesterday, we stopped there. Holy moly. And everyone getting their provisionals and ice and all that stuff to get ready to go over to the big race. And it got to the point I said, grab what you got to get. Let's get out of here. I'm freaking out. I'm getting a little overwhelmed.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's get on the road. I'm done with this. It was crowded in there, too. But Bucky's is cool. It was cool. I got a shirt.
I just say, yeah, I've got one of those. It's just a giant tumbler. It's bigger than like the the Yeti one. It's probably 40 ounces or something like that.
And have you had the Bucky's Nuggets?
No, we just got a text on the text line. Bucky's brisket sandwich is on point.
Yep. They have beef jerky, and I mean, they have everything in there. This is basically a mini Walmart. But we got the Bucky's Nuggets on the way there, and those were gone. I said, we got to get another bag of those on the way, but they are good.
Like chicken nuggets?
No, it's hard to explain. It's a treat. It's a sugary treat. It's not popcorn. It's hard to explain. I'll have to bring it in. I'll bring you some. It's pretty good.
Well, pretty I good like stuff. Treats.
Oh, it's one of those that you just, you can't have just one. You keep munching on them. They're good. Yeah, the beef jerky's, they have a wall of beef jerky. I mean, it's
yeah, I've seen good pictures stuff. And it looks like there's, I don't know, 400 different gas stations.
Oh, yeah. Or pumps.
Pumps.
Yeah. That's where we filled up and on the way out.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Beef jerky is best.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never been.
And, of course, I'm in the metro, so I hit up an official Dallas Cowboys store. And
saw your new hoodie.
I bought a hoodie and a shirt. I bought a Zeke shirt.
Oh, dear.
They didn't have Lamb.
Well, that ought to tell you something.
I wanted the double eights.
That ought to tell you something, Jared.
Well, he had a day yesterday.
That's why there's not one. And
they're sold. Yeah.
There's some Zeke stuff left.
They had a bunch of Zeke stuff, and they had a bunch of Dak stuff. You know, he's the starting quarterback for America's team. They have enough of that stuff, but they didn't have they had the CeeDee Lamb jersey, but I wasn't willing to pay $120 for a jersey. I just wanted the shirt, you know, the shirt jersey.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyways, good weekend.
Well, great. Let's talk about the NFL. A question already on the text line. Who's better, Dallas or the Cardinals? I think that's that question will be answered at least in a one game scenario coming up. So I think those two teams play each other, don't they?
I do believe they. I think you're right. It is a little later.
Efforting. Next to last game of the season.
Yeah. Man, that could be flexed to prime time.
Yeah, it's hard to listen. I haven't necessarily been, you know, even when we do our top five tomorrow, I don't know that I'm going to have Arizona number one, just because I don't know. I don't trust it. I guess I don't trust that Kyler Murray can stay healthy. I haven't seen him be able to do it yet. Now, if he does, it looks like that is one of the better teams for sure in the NFL. What they did to Cleveland yesterday, offensively, you know, you kind of expect it from them right now. But to me, what happened defensively, the way that they got after Mayfield, not get it. Cleveland didn't have Chubb, didn't have either starting tackle, and so that was a little bit of an advantage. But it does feel like the Cardinals are starting to kind of round into to more of a complete team than maybe what we thought. You knew the offense was explosive. You knew with the weapons they had. But all of a sudden, you've got J.J. Watt and Jones and everybody else on that defense starting to kind of come into form, and the Cardinals look as good as anybody right now. But so does Dallas. You know, that was a game yesterday to me. Over the past decade, or hell, even since the glory days of the 90s, that's a game Dallas has lost consistently throughout the years. And then when you get down to the division race or even a wild card spot, you look back and you go, God, we had that. How did we blow the Patriots game? We outgained them 2-1. We turned it over in the red zone twice, missed a field goal, da-da-da-da-da-da. That's why. That's the game. And yesterday it didn't happen. They were able to be just resilient enough. Dak is awesome. It's funny that we're talking about those two teams, because doesn't it feel like the MVP race is those two guys with Kyler and Dak right now, and everybody else maybe a line below with what they're doing for their teams. And, man, it just, you know, when they needed to play, they made it. And that's such a different feeling if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan to see that happen down the stretch of games. And so, you know, those two are right there with another group of three or four or five teams in the NFL that are all kind of, to me, starting to separate themselves from everybody else. It's almost like there's seven or eight that you can put in about any order. Then after that, there's a clear step down to everybody else.
Yeah, totally agree in what you said about Dallas, how those are games they usually lose in the past. You know, like, it's kind of how I felt after the Diggs interception return for a touchdown. I thought, oh, man, well, New England's going to go down. They're going to drive down and score with 10 seconds left and game over. And then that first that play happened, I thought, that's a lot of time for Dak and crew. You know, at least a tie, and then they made some clutch plays. Feels different this year. Feels different. Health is definitely a big part of it, I think. The last year they were so beat up, obviously, with Dak, and there's others, but I think that's a big thing. And when you go on what you would hope would be championship runs, for any sport, any level, it's health. If you can stay relatively healthy all season long, you're going to put yourself in a good position. So far, Dallas has done that.
It's funny you say that because I was talking to one of my buddies yesterday, kind of in between the Dallas game and the other one starting that at night with Pittsburgh and Seattle. And I said the one thing I constantly undervalue in the NFL is health, is injuries. Because, quite frankly, you can have whatever you want as a team, but if they can't play and they can't stay healthy because of the restrictions and size of the rosters, just the way it's, and you know, the salary cap and everything that goes into the whole thing, you can do it perfect, and if you guys get hurt, it doesn't matter because they're not out there, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's the one thing that is constantly, and it's not just the key, you know, Dak or Kyler, it's the ancillary parts as well. I mean, look at Cleveland. 3 weeks ago they had the best offensive line in the league. Now they don't have either tackle, and it was like a turnstile to get back to Baker. You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And he's not able to move around well enough for that not to matter. And there's tons of teams. San Francisco last year and a little bit this year just been decimated by injury. And you notice it more when it happens to, say, Russell Wilson, like what we saw with the Seahawks last night.
Right.
But the truth of it is it could be he could be out there and three or four other guys hurt, and the result is the same. It's just not going to be your year. And that's kind of a crass way to look at it. But you're right. If guys get hurt, seasons are derailed, period, in the NFL. That's just the way it goes.
Now, to that point, I'm not, but I'll ask you, any concern with Dak's upcoming results of his upcoming MRI? Apparently got his right foot or leg or something got banged up in that last play of the game.
Oh, really?
Came out with the boot on. And
obvious concern, but hopefully that's just precautionary.
I think a lot of it is.
Yeah, calf is fine.
Calf strain. Yeah. They're going to have an MRI. Comes at the perfect time with the bye week.
Yeah, bye week. Bye week is this week, and then go to the Vikings on Halloween. And so, yeah, that's a good time for it. You know, you like to talk about, you know, keeping things going when you're playing like this, but I also think there are some injury concerns mounting. To where the Cowboys, so this bye week comes at a good time, even though they've won those five straight.
Mm-hmm.
It is a good time to get some of those bumps and bruises healed before really kind of starting more of the stretch run, you know, toward the playoffs. The one good thing, at least right now through six games, if you're a Cowboys fan, it's already a three game lead in the division.
Yeah,
you know, so maybe as we continue along here. Now, the one thing you wonder about, you know, race for home field. So obviously, that's not going to be wrapped up anytime, you know, till the end. But as far as, you know, winning the division, making the playoffs, and that kind of thing, it looks like that's almost a moot point, to be quite honest, with the crappiness of the other three teams in the division with the Cowboys. So it's a fun year. In the NFL, if you like the Dallas Cowboys.
Like the Dallas Cowboys. Now, still holding my breath, but we'll see.
I think they're good.
Yeah.
How good, we'll find out, you know.
Here's the
Super Bowl
here's
good.
The scary thing, you know, they get back for Minnesota is Collins.
Collins coming back. Hey, Terrence Steele's better than he was last year, that's for sure.
Yep.
Taking a look at the Western Oklahoma College Pick'em Contest. Dun dun dun! It's bad news for old Aaron.
How'd you do?
A 4-6 drops me below 500 for the first time all year.
Wow!
Just a couple that didn't go my way, and one that I thought I picked right, and it turns out I had the wrong. I that LSU, I liked LSU. Somebody asked me Saturday morning, which games do you like? I said, LSU. I love LSU. And then it turns out I picked Florida. So that was a mess up on my part. But, yeah, 4-6. So one game or two games below 500 for me, 34-36. Couple of leaders, Johnny Rapp and Jay Sampson, 41-29.
Who'd you go with, Kentucky and Georgia?
I had Kentucky.
Me too.
And Mark Stoops. Thank you, Mark Stoops. He clearly decided, you know what, we can't win the game, but he knew the number. And those alumni appreciated that 11-minute drive to, down 24 to make it a 17-point game.
Yeah, when it was 0-0 after the first quarter, I was feeling pretty good.
Yeah, we watched some of that at the tailgate. But thank you to Robbie Allen and Tyler Harrison and the gang at Western Oklahoma Realty, where people before property is their motto. 74, we picked up another one since last week.
Cool.
Fantastic. The games this weekend start in Austin. Man, Oklahoma State, it did not start out well for the Cowboys. 17-3 down. Texas looked like they were going to put another one on the board and change the and make Oklahoma State become a team that had to pass, had to use Spencer Sanders to try to get back in the game. And Jason Taylor with maybe the play of the year in the Big 12, not just of the game, with that pick six that he took back 85 yards. And all of a sudden, instead of 24-3 or 20-3, it's 17-10, and now Oklahoma State can continue to play the way they want to play with pounding the ball, keeping Spencer Sanders from making mistakes that change games. And lo and behold, by the time it got to the fourth quarter, Oklahoma State dominated. What was the figure? 173-1 in yards in the fourth quarter in favor of the Cowboys, and they just find a way to win with defense and running game. It's like the 1980s up in Stillwater with a 32-24 win over Texas. Really impressive. Really, really impressive win, especially the way that game started for OSU.
And Texas knows that in football, it's not hockey. You got to play four quarters, so you can't play just three, right?
Apparently not.
That's a second time in a row. That's gotta hurt if you're Texas, but pretty happy if you're the state of Oklahoma. Both schools taking them down. A big job or good job for Oklahoma State. That's a big win for them. And you mentioned that play and the way that I was impressed the fourth quarter, obviously, but I was impressed with Sanders' composure in the fourth quarter, because how many times have we seen him turn it over and cost you the game or make it closer than what it should be? He was composed. It was excellent play calling, I thought. I was listening to it. I didn't watch it, but I had it in my ear. I was listening to it on Saturday afternoon. And it just seems like this is the season for Oklahoma State to finally, you know, they said it. We said it best at the beginning of the year. I didn't say it. It was Corbin in here who said it. When they're not picked to do anything, they do good.
That's right.
And this is what – here we are again. They were not picked to what maybe finish fourth or fifth in the conference, and right now they're eyeing a spot in the Big 12 championship game.
Well, it just depends on who you talk about not picking them, because one of us had them in the Big 12 title game, and I don't think it was you.
Okay, a lot of people would have said, Jared, that's not a bad thing. I mean,
no.
I mean, really, I mean, there's a lot of question marks about the defense, and that's been answered.
Yeah, there really wasn't, though. I mean,
I thought there was. There wasn't. Times when last year, it was up and down. Now it's more solid and the best defense in the conference, bar none.
Yeah, and another thing that helps, its quarterback play isn't very good in the Big 12.
Yeah.
And so you don't get to see those secondaries tested like they used to get. You know, it happens once or twice a year for everybody, and that's about it. Instead of week after week after week after week having to deal with those guys, you know, of 10 years ago. But kudos to Oklahoma State, and as long as they can stay in touch with teams like they did down there, that pick six was ginormous by Jason Taylor. Because if it's 24-3 at that point in the second quarter, then you feel like you have to start pressing, and then is that when Sanders makes mistakes and they can't get back in it? But instead of 24-3, it's 17-10. Then they can pound Jalen Warren, 33 carries, 193.
That pick when I saw the replay of it, that pick to me was film study with a week
yes.
off.
Yes, yes.
I mean, baited him. He
absolutely baited him. Absolutely. And Norman, we'll ask this question tomorrow because we've got to get to Jim, but if you were a Sooner fan, I want to hear how did Kalen Williams perform versus what your expectations were. And I think if you say, oh, yeah, that's what I thought he'd do, I think you're lying. because it was so easy. Not just the stats, but how easy he made it look. Like he'd been doing this for 3 years. That's what just stood out to me in the stands watching not just the plays he was making, but everything else that goes along with it.
Go ask, and we'll talk about it more tomorrow, and maybe with Jim here, but go ask our man Nathan what I said about this game going into it.
Were you hoping?
I said, I feel like this is the game the offense will explode.
Yeah, they did.
And the offense did.
They did.
I did not say the defense would be awesome.
I said and they the weren't.
Offense would be awesome.
Joined now by the voice you'll hear at 2 o'clock right on these airwaves. It is the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how are you?
I'm good, fellas. How you guys doing out there? How are the Elks doing? The Elks winning or losing?
The Elks.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that
I
up.
I am too. Played Thursday against the I-40 rival of Weatherford, team that Elk City hadn't beaten since 2011, and were able to put a beat down on the Eagles, 66-18. So about 10 years worth of frustration kind of poured out on Big Elk Stadium on last Thursday night. So,
well, very good.
It was.
By the way, Al Eschbeck coming out to Sayre tomorrow.
Is he really?
Yeah, Al Eschbeck. Now, he won't drive all the way out there. I believe that Louie, the guy who's doing the show, will drive him. But, yeah, Big Al. Al keeps asking me how long of a drive is. I said, it's really long. So, for all the people, he's going to be at Rob's Ranch. And Al doesn't get out there very often, so it's really cool that he's going out there. It's a great place, obviously, at Rob's Ranch.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have to stop by and go say hi to Al on the way home.
Awesome.
Let's start down in Austin, Jim. What an unbelievable performance by Oklahoma State. We were just talking. Jason Taylor might have made the play of the year, much less just the play in the conference or maybe even in the country, depending on how OSU's season finishes, with that pick six when it looked like, you know, if it's 24-3, then Spencer Sanders kind of has to be the focal point of the offense, and it's clear that's not what OSU wants to do. Just talk about how the Cowboys were able to kind of hang in, and finally deliver a knockout punch in the fourth quarter.
Well, first of all, I just got to give it up to OSU, their coaching staff, their players. I mean, I don't want to say that they're not a great 6-0 team, because they are 6-0. But boy, sometimes you just look at their on the offensive side of the ball, and you think, gosh, how they are 6-0. Isn't it crazy how back-to-back weeks against Texas, the games basically went exactly the same way? So down in the Cotton Bowl, I truly believe that if Caleb Williams doesn't go 66 yards for a touchdown, I mean, it looked like he was going to be a 2-yard loss. But even if he gains 5 yards, Spencer Rattler's coming back in the game. You know he is. And then, who knows what happens from that point on. I don't think they win. Same with this, like you just said. I mean, if this is an interception for a touchdown, even if he just intercepts it and falls down,
yeah.
Is anybody confident at that point that OSU's offense is going to go the length of the field when it's 17-3? I mean, you think about it. Even if they just kick a field goal, 20-3 or 17-10, just a massive, massive difference. So, great play. This defense is really good, by far the best defense in the Big 12. Cannot wait to see Caleb Williams when it all comes down at the end of the year. I'm really hoping that both of them are 11-0. That would be really cool. I don't know, there's a lot of football still to be played. But, just an amazing play. And then in the second half, they did what they had to do. And I'll tell you something, Texas, of course Texas being back is all that crap that we hear every year. It's not true. But they better figure out their conditioning program, because 2 weeks in a row, fellas, and it was 72 degrees down in Austin. It wasn't 95 like it was in the Cotton Bowl. But they just looked like they were done. Towards the end of the game, OSU, it's not like they got some big, huge offensive line that they're just blowing you away with. They got their offensive lines played a lot better. But they looked tired again, and OSU did what they had to do. So great win. Now, it's unbelievable. If OSU goes and wins in Ames this weekend, then guess what, fellas? They have it's in their hands to go to the first Big 12 championship they've ever gone to. You know what I really think, though? If both teams are 11-0, the first game will mean nothing except for maybe a national championship situation. So, because they have to play back-to-back games. But anyway, great stuff. Tremendous win for OSU. And they deserve to be in the top 10 where they're playing right now.
Yeah, it's just it's amazing to watch. I mean, it feels like we're back in the 1980s. It's clear that Mike Gundy, I'm with you. I don't think there's any doubt that either he has taken over the play calling or he has a massive input into what's happening. And he doesn't trust Spencer Sanders not to lose the game. And so he kind of takes it out of his hands. And with OSU's offensive line getting better, Jaylen Warren has been a revelation throughout the season. Feels like he has 30 carries and almost 200 yards every week now. And they're able to play that way because that defense is so strong, and they figured out a way to run the ball and shorten those games.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's incredible because this league used to all be about quarterback play, and now OSU is winning, frankly, in spite their quarterbacks. You know, despite their quarterback, it really is. Now he can still make some plays, and he does every once in a while because he's got some talent. The touchdown he threw in the end zone where he rolled out, boy, that was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he made a couple of good runs, but he's just – and I hate to say this and be negative Nancy, but I think it's going to bite him in the end somewhere. But, gosh, if he – imagine if he plays well. Imagine if he plays consistent. I mean, then this team would have a legitimate chance. You know, we had the little OSU fans – and I say little OSU fans because they drive me crazy – but, you know, calling on the post game for OSU. We hope now you guys are going to talk about Oklahoma State. But, you know, it's just ridiculous, that little brother theory. But, unfortunately, you know, one guy said that, you know, they should be up there for the national championship, just like, why is OU ahead of them? Look, we all know why OU's ahead of them. That's the way it is, stupid preseason rankings and all that other stuff. Well, one of the reasons why they're not up there is because I don't think anybody still has a lot of confidence in their quarterback. Listen. A lot of people didn't have confidence in the quarterback at OU until they made a change now. So a lot of things happening, great stuff. But I can't wait for this game up in Ames this weekend. It's going to be good stuff. By the way, correct me if I'm wrong. All I've heard forever and ever and ever that the 11 a.m. is the big window, right? It's either 11 a.m. or the 6:30 game. Why is the biggest game in the Big 12 by far at 2:30? Can you guys help me that? What's up with that? They just lie through their teeth, don't they?
I think so. That was the first thing I noticed was, oh, yeah, that game in Ames is definitely going to be that 11 a.m. big noon kickoff, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, or maybe just 2:30 on Fox. It just doesn't make it. It doesn't make any sense. To me, Iowa State, they had all the hype in the preseason. And then they lost to Iowa, and then they had that loss to Baylor. But now maybe it's just because of who they're playing and, you know, getting kind of back on the track. But this feels like Iowa State's story. Lose early,
Yeah. Figure
it out, and I think this is going to be a brutally tough game up in Ames for OSU on Saturday.
I agree. I've not seen the line yet. What's the line, guys?
Seven.
You know what the line is?
Iowa State favored by 7.
Wow, that is a big line. That's bad news for OSU. I'm just telling you. According to Vegas, I'm not saying, you know, just according to Vegas, that line being that big, they think Iowa State's going to win the game by more than 7. Having said that, Vegas is wrong some. I agree with you, Skinny. You're right. This is their mantra, isn't it? They don't play well early, and they lose to Iowa, and then the next thing you know, they start to roll, and they're still in this thing. I mean, they're still in it. They win this game, and they're in good shape now that lost to Baylor, and then OSU beat Baylor, so that's a whole weird deal there with all three of those people. But, yeah, this is going to be a great game. I can't wait. I think that Spencer Sanders is going to have to play really well in this game for them to win. I don't think that he can, you know, who was it a couple weeks ago? Was it West Virginia? I can't remember. No, it wasn't West Virginia. It was, help me. Oh, it was Baylor.
Baylor. Yeah.
You're not going to throw three interceptions against up there in Ames and win this game. And these people will be fired up. You know it. They got nothing to do up there in Ames. They're going to be at the game. They're going to be crazy. They're going to be drinking, screaming, and yelling. So drinking that corn whiskey more than likely. So, I'm excited about it. I can't wait. And, boy, if they win this game, fellas, it's there. It's theirs. I mean, they will more than – they'll probably have about a 90% chance to go to the Big 12 championship game for the first time because everybody that they have to beat out, they've beaten.
That's right.
Right? Kansas State, Iowa State, and Baylor. I mean, I don't know who else there could be unless they lose two games and nobody's. So, yeah, it's a fun season. Sure is fun when both schools are ranked in the top 10. That's great stuff.
Storybook. I hope they wind up undefeated at the end of the year. I hope they do. The best thing about that's going for OSU in this upcoming game against Iowa State is that everyone's going to call it a big game, and if Brock Purdy plays in a big game, he throws a lot of interceptions. So hopefully this hopefully Brock Purdy hears that it's a big game.
Yeah.
That's true. So does Sanders. But I think if Coach Gundy takes care of him like he did at Austin and basically take the ball out of his hands, put it in Warren's hands or whoever, and that let that defense do what it does, I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but I think Iowa State's defense is pretty good, fellas. I mean, I really do. I know everybody's down on Iowa State, you know, losing at Baylor, two losses, blah, blah, blah. That's what happens when you're top 10 to begin the year. It's better off for a team like Iowa State to be number 23 at the beginning of the year than it is to be like six, like they were. But anyway, I'm so excited about the game. I can't wait. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm not excited about the other game coming up.
No, that's a bye week. Oh, boy.
What were your thoughts? You know, I was going to ask this question to our listeners, and I hope to get true responses. But what the way Caleb Williams performed versus the expectations you had for him going into his first start against TCU on Saturday night?
Well, he's unbelievable. I mean, the kid he's incredibly talented. He has so much poise. You know, Al Eschbeck's been watching OU football for 120 years, and he said it's the greatest freshman debut for a quarterback of all time. And he was absolutely amazing. He's got all parts of the game. I mean, I still think there's going to be some adversity. Maybe there isn't. I don't know. Maybe the guy's so special that there isn't going to be an adversity. But he really is incredibly impressive in how he plays the game. And I love, you know, he's happy. I mean, one of the biggest differences between him and Spencer Rattler is that he looks like he's happy to play the game. And maybe that's just because he thought there was no way that he would play this year, and now he's in, so he can't wait, you know, can't believe that he's gotten the chance. But Spencer Rattler, boy, he looked like the weight of the world was on his shoulders, and by the way, he played like that. And this kid, he's just kind of cruising along and celebrating on the sidelines. I mean, I'm telling you, man, he is really, really, really impressive. Now, as I said earlier, Spencer Sanders will be the problem if OSU doesn't get it. Obviously, the defensive backfield for the OU stinks. And, you know what? I think I might have said this to you guys before, but I'm going to say it again because it just drives me crazy. All I hear about is 4 stars and 5 stars and how much depth they have everywhere. You know, all these, you know, the guy from Tennessee and all these young kids that are coming in and they're really, really good. And then they lose a couple players and all I hear about, well, they can't play without those kids. It has to be one or the other, okay? I mean, Woody Washington must be Rod Woodson, okay? If Woody Washington is going to make the difference that they talk about that he's going to make, well, then, I mean, the team's not near as good back there. They got problems back there. That's all there is to it. The good thing for them is that nobody can throw the ball until maybe they get to another level. Let me tell you something. Everybody doesn't want to play Georgia. The team that OU doesn't want to play is Alabama.
Yep.
Because Alabama will light them up. Now, they may light up Alabama, too. That may be the 45-42 game. But I don't know if Alabama will punt if they play OU. So, you know, we'll see what happens down the road, but the defensive backfield, I'm sure it'll get better with Turner Yell and Woody Washington. But the good thing is the offense is back, and this kid is really, really good. And they decided who to play at running back, which, by the way, I think I said that week one, but that's okay.
You know, I guess I understand why. Because of the hype and because of the portal and because of recruiting and all those things that go into it. But when you watch the team play with the different quarterback, it baffles my mind how this wasn't happening the entire year.
Yeah, but listen, though, Skinny, there's no human alive that could have made that
right.
That made that move. I mean, nobody. I mean, you know, and you got a guy who, coming out of last season, was playing great. And then got all the accolades all season. I mean, these dudes that cover the draft, I know people ought to like to rip them, but they're not idiots.
Right.
They know. They're pretty good at figuring it out. They talk to people, general managers and people like that. And he was the number one player in the draft. Now, there's another number one player in the draft that shouldn't have been, but we can talk about him in a minute. But anyway, yeah, I mean, come on, guys. I mean, this is – you can't make that move. But I'll tell you what, took guts when he did. He made the right move, and now they're rolling. This kid, man, he can play. He's a really, really good player.
Yeah, I don't – it almost – even if you think that, maybe you've got to at least kind of give the rope for – you know, to hang himself on to be able to make the move. Is that, if that makes any sense? Even if you think that.
They're lucky they didn't lose.
Yeah, yeah. It's very true.
But he had to keep playing the kid. I mean, there was nothing way to do it that he did it. Truthfully, they really did. I mean, he did it the way it needed to be done. That last fumble, I think he just said, I've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
And they're on the way to lose the game, and he brings them in, and he brings them back to a win, and then he does a really good job against TCU. So this is the big question I have, and Al and I massively disagree on this, but if they're up 48-0 in the third quarter, you bring in Rattler in the game against Kansas?
No, I don't.
I don't either. Al says you have to. He's a backup quarterback. I just don't do it, man. And if I'm Rattler, I don't want to.
Right. Yeah, and I almost don't do it because it almost feels like a slap in the face to Rattler. And, you know, the chances of him not being on the team anymore, to me, go up if you do it that way. And the worst thing that could happen is him get hurt, just in case you would need him down the stretch. I mean, the whole reason you're treating the situation with kid gloves like you are is to have him available in the case you need him. And 48-0 against Kansas ain't it.
I agree. Totally agree.
All right.
Not bring him in.
What about yesterday in the NFL? One former Sooner quarterback looked pretty good, and the other one didn't up there in Cleveland.
Well, I throw up in my mouth when I do, but I just listened to Skip Bayless, and it was just excuse after excuse. He's got a bad shoulder. His tackles were out. He didn't have Chubb. You know what that shows? He can't put his team on the back.
Yep.
I mean, that's what it is. I'm gonna tell you something, I'll say it again, and Matt Ravis told me I was crazy. I hope they pay him $50 million a year. I do. I hope they unload on the kid. Because if they do that, in 3 years the Browns will be done. Done. They're gonna lose everybody because they're paying way too much to a dude who shouldn't be getting it. Right? I mean, it's that simple. And he's a good player. He is. I said when he came out, I thought he'd be a 7 out of 10. I might have been a little bit high. He might be a 6. But he's not a superstar. He's not even a star. He's a really good, solid quarterback. When you run the ball and play defense, you can win. And what about, I mean, they're tied with my Steelers, and the Steelers stink. I laugh about this. I really do. The Browns. Are the Browns going to finish last in the division now? After some people were picking them to go to the Super Bowl? I mean, are you kidding me? I doubt it because the Steelers are going to lose, and the Steelers are going to lose. They'll go to Cleveland after their bye and lose, more than likely, because I think the Steelers are horrible. But this Browns thing is funny to me. I'm going to have Jake Trotter on this week, and I'm going to ask him, what's going on up there? Because everybody thought they had a chance to win the Super Bowl. They can't beat anybody. They're 3-3. So it's funny. And then on the other side, he just does he just does what's supposed to be done. Murray is unbelievable, and they're a better team. I picked the Browns in that game, and I was dead wrong. So very impressive win for Arizona going on the road. And the Browns are, well, I'll just say it simply, they're the Browns. That's what they are. They're the Browns.
But you know who has turned it around?
Your Cowboys.
Yes. Listen. Maybe the best part about it, I've seen that exact same game 100 times over the past 15 or 20 years, and about 95 times the Cowboys lose that game yesterday in New England, you know, making the mistakes to lose it. And I can't decide. Part of me thinks, you know what? That's when you know you really are a good team, when you can win games in the NFL when you don't even get close to playing your best.
Yeah, how many rookie quarterbacks are you guys going to go against? You're just going to keep, is that it? You're just going to keep going? No, listen, man, good win, tremendous win. That was my lock of the week, man. I loved the Patriots in that game. I really did. Not anything against the Cowboys, but I just thought that was the perfect spot. And, it goes to overtime, so obviously, I mean, I was on the right side, but I end up losing because of that play. I wonder how badly Dak is hurt. That could be a big situation. But, yeah, no, really, really good win. They're good. The Cowboys are good, man. They got a chance. They really do. They got a chance. We'll see. Their schedule. You look at their schedule, dude. They could drop a 15-2.
Yeah,
I'm serious.
Their schedule's
pretty bad. I mean, their schedule
bad.
Is horrible. They got a bunch of teams where they're going to be favored, and that division, they got as many wins as the entire division does. And so, yeah, the Cowboys doing well. Now, I will tell you this, fellas. You better watch out for your coach. Because he is the worst decision maker I've ever seen. I don't have any idea what the heck he's doing. He goes for it when he shouldn't. He kicks a field goal when he shouldn't. He can't figure out the clock. He can't. I mean, he is terrible. Terrible. So, you know, I talked about, well, you know, if OSU loses, it's going to be because of their quarterback. If OU loses, it's going to be because of their defensive backfield. If your Cowboys lose, it might be because of your head coach.
I have never seen anybody not understand the clock at the end of halves and games as poorly as him. And it's not just here. It was the same problem at Green Bay fans. You get on social media and they go, yep, it's your problem now, not ours, thank goodness. I mean, how in the world, when CD made that catch at the end of the fourth quarter, 4th-and-1, he called timeout. I thought he was going for it to try to get the first down and get closer. That's the only reason you call timeout right there. If you're going to try to kick a field goal, you don't give them 20 seconds. Who knows what could happen? It's every week there's something like that, either
right.
In the first half or toward the end of the games when the games are close. It's just mind-boggling how he does – I mean, let somebody else, like, be in charge of that. If you have, like, a sheet, and they can just run down it for any situation – and then, you know, scream down, okay, don't call timeout, or call timeout, or, you know, whatever it is. It is amazing how bad he is at it.
And there are teams in the league that have a guy that's all he does. He sits up in the press box and kind of tells the coach, okay, now this is what you know, this is what you should do here, and this is what you should do there. So, yeah, it's wow. But you're winning this fight. I think Jerry Jones may have sold his soul to the devil. I think so. You guys are winning games that you normally lose.
Yeah, they showed the before the game yesterday with he and Robert Kraft. Maybe Robert kind of slid the soul of the devil into Jerry's pocket the way that it looked like that probably happened in New England over the past couple of decades, winning all the Super Bowls.
Yeah. Kraft has been close to the devil, trust me. We know that.
Hey,
very close.
Hey, I've been getting a couple texts on our text line here as we've talked. And it's people that have started listening to you and Julie's podcast as couples. I know my wife and I have done it. Jared's wife and his have done it.
Yep.
And a couple of people have texted in. Talk about that and how that experience is going for you, because people love being able to hear, really, no offense, but her perspective on the life as much as yours.
No offense taken. Listen, she's been going on my show for years and years, and I've had so many people tell me, hey, you need to have her on more often. Well, I mean, it is a sports show. I can't talk. You know, I used to have her on when I had a political show more often. But I love having her on. And she, I'm telling you, man, she's so good. And for all the couples out there, look, we don't have everything right. I mean, we've been arguing about what we're going to do on the show, because the show comes out today. And we've been going back and forth about what we want to do today and how we want to talk about it. So we're just like everybody else. We argue, we fight. But we've been around a long time. And we've been through a whole bunch, and we've just done a lot of life. And now we're empty nesters, and we got a lot of things to talk about with babies and grandbabies and everything else. And we've traveled and eating and this disgusting diet that I'm on right now. It's just, by the way, I've lost like 7 pounds. I thought I'd let y'all know, which I don't know if it's worth it, but I'm doing it. But, yeah, no, yeah, it's really cool. It's called the Julie and Jim Traver Podcast, and you can get it anywhere. It's out every single place where you can get a podcast, but the best place might go to thesportsanimal.com/Traver podcast. And don't forget, if you want to follow me on Instagram, that you can get them there too. It's at Jim Traver. And the show has its own Instagram called the Julian Jim Traver Podcast. So lots of different places to get it. We've done two of them. We're going to put up our third one today at 2:00. And, yeah, I love it. So you guys both liked it. She's good, isn't she? She's good, man.
My wife almost rolled out of bed last week listening to you, but we're opposite. She drives like you, and I drive like Julie, and I act like Julie does to you in the car. I mean, when you were talking about when she's Jim, it sounded like Kara. Oh my! And I almost have to close my eyes, and maybe I need to start reading a book and just not looking forward.
Kara's not as good as Jim because it's not speed racing.
That's
Jim,
right.
Jim.
Yeah,
she is unbelievable, dude. Oh, my gosh, it's just crazy. Crazy, that hand of hers just moving and hearing the Jim. But, I love her, though. She's unbelievable to be married to. And, yeah, we got – and, by the way, next week we're going to do a special one about my job with the Arizona Diamondbacks because, you know, I'm getting ready to do the 20th anniversary coming up here in a little less than a month. We're going back to Arizona. So we're going to talk about that whole experience and how I got the job and how it was for her with me being away with three babies. And that's going to be a really, really good one. So that'll be next week. But this one that we're doing today, we found a book that Julie has thrown at me three times. I'll let you know, because you guys know I don't read books. You know that, right? I don't read a book. So she's read the book, and I've taken the test, and it's about love languages.
Oh yes.
And and she is fired up about this thing. So you're going to want to listen to the one today, I promise.
Oh yeah, we've done that test multiple times in our house to see how they change throughout the years, because they seem to change.
Mine's the same. I think number six should be food. That should be me. Number six should be food. That's my love language.
Fantastic. Well, Jim, thanks so much for joining us. Have a great show. And you got a bunch of people out here listening to the podcast with Julie as well.
Beautiful. Appreciate it. See you guys.
All right. See you, Jim.
Bye-bye.
The ultimate Jim Traber joining us on a Monday. It was funny because that story, everything he said about Julie and his driving is exactly like my wife and I, except the roles are reversed. I'm a little too careful, and I don't think she's careful enough.
I do most of the driving, and just getting back from a little road trip.
Oh, listen,
I reserve comment right now.
I do a lot of the driving just because I like for us to make it there in one piece.
Well, I'll do the driving, but then I'll get – never mind. On the other side, I hear that.
Is there some critique?
A little bit, and you are more than welcome to drive, hon. Oh, no, I don't want to drive. Okay. I'm trying to be very careful here.
That's the problem. If I say that, I'll get shoved out the door, and she'll just take over driving as we're moving.
Man. But, no, my wife loves that podcast. Now she wants to do one. I've told you this. She wants to do one with me. I don't know if we want to divulge too much information about our marriage out into a podcast. There might be no filter from her.
I'm in. I'll listen. Do it, Allie. If only
she
just
has
me
a great
listens.
Story about how she came to Oklahoma. I think that would make a good piece for a podcast.
I want to hear more about you and her. Kind of what you don't do right.
Oh boy.
Wouldn't that be fun to go back and listen to?
No.
Everybody have a great Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.